I wasn't always the doubter, you know. There was the time that we received word that Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was sick and might be dying, but it was dangerous for Jesus to go that close to Jerusalem. People were trying to kill him there. So we stayed put. We didn't go say goodbye to Lazarus. But then Jesus wanted to go. He wanted to go because he said Lazarus was dead. Why would we go now? Some of the others weren't so sure. What if we were all arrested? In that moment, I was really clear about what I believed. I figured it was better to go and die with Jesus. I followed him. I suppose I should have known to trust Jesus. He promised he would return. He promised that in 3 days he would rise again. It happened with Lazarus. He raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. Maybe I should have been quicker to believe the others when they insisted that Jesus was alive. Doubting Thomas, history has called me. They give me a question mark and call me spiritually blind, like I'm a blindfold, as if I were the only one with fears and doubts, as if no one else ever wondered. Do you judge me for my doubt? Haven't you ever wondered, even a little bit? Doubt isn't evil, you know. It isn't the same as denial. Doubt is simply not being sure. Doubt is not being 100% positive about something. Having some questions. Wanting answers. Wanting just a little bit more knowledge. Doubt is where faith begins. You can't see, and yet it might be true. You can't hear, but maybe if you listen a little harder. You can't know for certain, and yet you believe. Doubt is the birth of faith. Doubt makes you ask questions. Questions make you learn a little bit more. Look just a little bit harder. Ponder just a little more. Doubt isn't bad. If you are really honest, I bet you have all been where I have. Wondering just a little unsure, not quite ready to go all in for God, but willing to think about it. To be honest, it is the people who never doubt anything that worry me. The people who are so certain of their convictions that they can't imagine God doing something new or using someone unexpected. If God didn't do things that were unexpected, we human beings would be in a lot of trouble. All of the great stories of faith have doubt. All of the great people of faith, from Moses to David, even Jesus, asked questions, wanted to understand just a little bit better. Doubting Thomas, they call me. Maybe that name isn't so bad after all. At least I'm still seeking. I was there.
Gracious God, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts. Help us to hear again your word. Help us to wonder again about what it is to be in your presence. In your name we pray. Amen. We are going to read two different scripture passages, both from the Gospel of John. Both of them are Thomas's stories. And so hear these words from John 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with her perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he who you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's falling asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And then we're going to turn over to chapter 20, after Easter morning. The rest of Thomas's story that we know better is this. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Doubt, I think, is the space where faith begins. We have been so often taught that doubt is something to be ashamed of, something to hide or to fear. We've been often told that if we doubt, we ought to try harder to have faith, to work a little bit more on believing. We've sometimes been told that we should leave our doubts at home, hide them away, put them in the closet, don't worry about them or pay attention to them. There are those who've been taught and told that doubt has no place in faith, and certainly not on Sunday morning when you come to worship or during Bible study or prayer. Often doubt has been considered shameful, but I think we're probably wrong about that. This is the place to bring your doubts. This is the place to bring what is uncertain. This is the place to ask the hard questions, to wonder and be uncertain. If we cannot bring our wonderings here, into this holy space, where do we bring them? When we insist on pushing our doubts away and pretending that they don't exist, then there's no opportunity for someone else to speak faith to us. When we hide our doubts as if they were shameful, or if we're embarrassed, then God doesn't have a chance to speak to us in our doubt. When we tuck them away, we prevent the Spirit of God from having access to them. The things in our lives that need to be seen and heard don't get shared. But the good news is that even if we hide away our doubts, God sees them and longs to speak to us in them. Doubt rises in us anytime we are unsure. Whenever we have questions that do not have easy answers, or where we cannot quite find the answer. Doubt rises in us when we're not sure if we made the right choice, if we did the right thing, if we should have done or said something else. Doubt is a part of what it means to be human, isn't it? We doubt ourselves. We doubt other people because we're not always in control. We don't always know. And the reality is there are just some unanswerable questions out there in our world. Then why does doubt have such a bad rap? If it's so normal and so human, why do we keep feeling guilty when we doubt? Why do we try to talk ourselves out of it? Why do we try and convince ourselves that there's something wrong with us, that everybody else has it together, and that we're the only ones with these weird questions that get asked? If people really knew, we tell ourselves. If people really knew, would they reject me? If I doubt, does that mean that I doubt God? If I doubt God, does that mean I don't have any faith? If you remember nothing else this morning, what I want you to hear me say is that it is okay to have questions. It is okay to have doubts. Because I think that the doubts and the questions are the doorway to a deeper faith. Doubt is kind of a watchword for us all in this particular week, isn't it? We have so many questions. And it seems that some people are pretty sure they have all the answers, and that the rest of us are not quite sure at all that we have any. So I want to talk a little bit about some practical doubts and what you might do with those feelings. There are some of you who have doubts and questions about being here this morning. Some of you are having deeper questions about belonging, about being here. Am I really welcome? If they really knew me, would they accept me? Can I really belong in this space? For some of you, it might be a question of faith. Could God really love someone like me? Is it really safe to ask questions about God? Has God rejected me? Could Jesus really love someone like me? And for some of you, the questions might be more practical even than that. I'm considered one of the vulnerable population. Is it safe for me to be at church? What is the line between panic and responsibility? How do we love and care for our neighbors when we're supposed to, at the same time, avoid all human contact? So I want to be really clear when I say that all of those questions that I just rattled off and all of the other questions that I did not name are okay to ask. It is okay to wonder about COVID-19 just like it's okay to wonder about God. Doubt is normal. Fear and wondering are normal. And I want to also be really clear, I don't have all of the answers. I can't answer all the questions for you because I genuinely don't have answers for all of my questions right now. But I want to talk a little bit what I do know and what I really do believe. Some of what I know is fact. Some of what I know is a little harder to prove. Some of what I know is what I believe in my own faith. Some of it comes from being a part of a community of believers. So let's start with practical and work our way backwards to the more ethereal questions. The goal then isn't to have answers. The goal is to have freedom to ask. I have never been the pastor during a pandemic before. Some of you might even remember the Hong Kong flu of 1968. We're not going to take a poll. But all of that was before my time. I can tell you what I know, and I can tell you what I believe. What I know is that there is no reason to panic, and that I do not need 12 cases of toilet paper in my house. But I also know that there is a huge difference between taking appropriate protective measures to care for the more vulnerable people of my life and to slow the spread of a disease from overwhelming our system and panic. Those are not two different, those are two different poles, right? And there is a happy medium somewhere in between. There is responsibility. What it means to be careful and protect others is not the same as freaking out or panicking or overblowing things. What I do know is that this place is as clean and safe as it's humanly possible to be because I've watched Michael and Debbie wander around the church with bleach all week. What I know is that if you don't feel safe, it is genuinely okay to stay home. What I know is that we will not judge you, but we'll miss you. If you are not feeling well, why are you here? Genuinely, if you're not feeling well, why are you here? Go home and rest. There's no reason to be heroic. There's no reason to pretend that you feel great when you don't. Kim didn't come today. She's my liturgist. Do you know why she's not here? She has a cough. She knows it's a cold, but she wants to not freak anybody else out. And I said, why are you worried about other people? Maybe it's just okay for you to be a human being and stay home and rest. We live in a world where communication can happen in more ways than ever before. Checking on one another, caring for your neighbors via text or email or video chat is a legitimate way to check on other human beings. We can care for each other well by praying with each other and for each other. We can check on each other and care for each other well in creative ways. Yes, by washing our hands, but also in being intentional in choosing other ways. Because this is not an either-or proposition. There is something in between that allows us to maintain human contact. For some of you who are asking more existential questions, yes, you are welcome here. Really and truly, you are welcome. We want to be a community of faith that opens its arms, at least metaphorically this week, to anyone and everyone. You don't need to have it all together to be here. Because if we were all really honest, most of us would admit that we don't have it all together. You don't need certain clothes. You don't need to have a certain attitude. You don't need to have a certain level of knowledge about the Bible before you are welcome. We really and truly are a community that wants to be welcoming of anyone. But I also believe that we, all of us, have things that we're choosing not to share. That all of us have things that are hidden away and tucked away that we maybe could do a better job of being authentic about. For some of you, it is old pain or old places of darkness. And if that's true, then if we were willing to share that a little bit more, maybe it would remind us that we're all of us in the same boat. We are all of us sinners in need of a Savior. We are all of us looking for places that we fit in and belong. We are all of us looking for places that we are accepted as we are. So yes, if you're wondering, you can belong here. If you are coming with questions of faith, what I can offer you is what I offer myself when I wonder. I look in the words of Scripture. I have words that are of historical faith. I have my own story and my own experiences to share. Can God really love someone like you? Yes. Look at the people who God has chosen and loved throughout history. God already loves you. There is nothing that you can do that will make God love you more than you are already loved. And there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less than you are already loved. Because God doesn't work on a balance sheet. God does not keep score. God's ways are not our ways. I think that's why Thomas's story is so important. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. That'd be us. Blessed are those who seek and wonder and ask hard questions. Blessed are those who are willing to sit in the tension between what is and what God has promised will be. Here, this place is the place to ask questions. This is the place to seek to know and understand. Here is the place to ask and to speak out loud, to cry out and ask God for the answers that you don't yet have. Here is the place to know that doubt has to be a part of our journey, because doubt is the doorway in which we can go deeper into our faith. Let's pray together. Gracious God, in all our doubts and all our wondering, in all of the uncertainty of these days, come among us, gather with us, ease our anxiety and welcome us. We ask this in your name. Amen.